Hello and welcome to The Rufus Project, your podcasty guide to geek and pop culture-y stuff that we just happened to be interested in at the time. I am your host, Trevor Holland, and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you this time around? Well, a very straightforward one. I checked out Dishonored Definitive Edition to let you know if that's worth revisiting that title. Here's a little hint, it is. And Christian talks about the Beatles classic A Hard Day's Night. That's the movie, not the film, in the lead up to the upcoming screening that he's hosting. Of course, we also have the geek news and the upcoming events. And make sure you keep on listening because we've got a bit of info about our next redeeming features cast, which will be coming up next week. So that's a fun one. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. And now, the news. I know it's been a while, but you know what? I'm just going to focus on some recent stuff, let everything else by the wayside. I'm sure you're all pretty up to date, especially if you follow our Facebook and Twitter page. Just a hint, guys. First up, the Dallas Buyers Club group, who had their proposed letter knocked back by an Australian judge, finally a good call in this case, has stated they are not going to appeal the decision. However, they are still considering their options. It's good news that these guys can't just blatantly come in and copyright troll us. However, it's not over yet. Particularly when you consider that the proposed anti-piracy scheme, which these guys conveniently decided to try to get in before that started, well, I guess their lack of faith in the scheme is shown because the 1st of September deadline to get this anti-piracy scheme in place has whooshed by at great speed, and they just gave it a hearty wave and said, we're not ready yet. The problem being is that the big bugbear that was right from when this was first drafted is that no one can agree who's going to pay for it, ISPs or copyright holders. They've kind of agreed to share the cost, but the ISPs are saying it's going to cost at least $27 per notice in order to get this stuff processed. The copyright holders, of course, said, haha, it's more like $6 per notice, and we'll pay you half of it. Bit of a discrepancy there, guys. Really, this was always going to be the sticking point. This is going to continue to be the sticking point. And really, again, like the last time this tried to happen, it didn't get anywhere because of this very sticking point. So, nice waste of time and money there, guys. Good job. But that's enough of that horrible anti-piracy copyright rubbish for the time being. Here's some good news. It's a big happy birthday. It's a big 25th birthday to Monkey Island. The classic adventure game was released way back in 1990 and is still a firm favourite of gamers around the world. Many game developers do still quote it as one of their inspirations for getting into game design, and still the sense of humour in this game and the cleverness of a lot of the puzzles in the original are still like really, really good today. If you've never played the original Monkey Island, I highly recommend you do. So just one more time, happy birthday, Monkey Highland. Look behind you, it's a three-headed monkey! And that's the news. Dishonored, developed by Arkane Studios and published by Bethesda Softworks back in 2012, was a highly acclaimed stealth action-adventure video game. It was praised at the time for its distinctive art style and its very open world, which gave you options on how to complete your missions. You could be a murdering rampage of death and pain, or you could take the more sneaky option and try to get through without being detected and without killing anybody. And this is probably one of the few games that actually managed to get the whole good versus bad affecting gameplay thing pretty much right. You see, it's set in this dystopian steampunk world where a plague is going on. And as you, as the assassin Corvo, try to get revenge on the death of the Empress you were meant to be protecting as a bodyguard, the more bodies that pile up, the more rats come around, the more the plague spread, and, well, the darker the world gets. So yes, the more people you kill, the more it affects the gameplay itself, and ultimately your choices do affect the outcome and the ending that you get. That itself is still pretty black and white. You either assassinate all your targets, or you let all your targets live, because, again, you've got those options available to you. Now, why am I talking to you in such detail about a game from 2012? Well, following the recent trend, this game has now been re-released on the latest consoles as the Dishonored Definitive Edition, this time including all the extra downloadable content that was available for the original game. In a nice break from downloadable content tradition, the downloadable content is also quite cool and adds to the overall game. So how is this new version? Well, I played the original when it came out, I've played some of the DLC, and I can tell you that it's certainly not a remaster. You can tell they've probably tweaked the textures a bit, but this is probably a game that takes advantage of its unique art style, so they haven't really bothered in changing the look of it all that much, and that is a good thing. It still plays just as well, and it is still, you know, a very, very worthy game. If you do want to see it in action, you can head to our YouTube channel, where I have got a couple of gameplay videos up, showing Corvo in action and showing just how bad I am at trying to stealth everything. It probably won't be up by the time the podcast comes out, but I will be uploading another video of the final mission, so all nice and spoiler-packed stuff coming to the YouTube channel very, very soon. Now, that will be based around trying to get the good ending, and at a later date, I will probably replay this as a psychopathic maniac, just so I can then do an upload of the final mission when you've gone the dark path. Another good thing about this is if you owned a digital copy on PlayStation 3, and that does include having the PlayStation Plus edition that was available on PS3, currently there is a discount on the Dishonored Definitive Edition for PS4, and let me tell you, it is definitely well worth it. But what do you think? Do you think Dishonored is worth another visit? Have you never played it? Do you want to play it? Well, you should want to play it because it is an excellent game. And you know what? I didn't start it this way, but I'm going to add it now. This has been added to the list of games you must play. Okay, enjoy.
There's been a few times on the Rufus Project where I've chatted about one of my favourite movies of all time, The Beatles' A Hard Day's Night from 1964. I first came across the film during university when I did a course in which looked at musical films, and of course in this period the perfect example, the definitive example, was the cinema verite style of A Hard Day's Night and how much it kind of influenced the sort of look of music videos in the future, and a lot of that sort of fly on the wall pseudo documentary type filmmaking which we're so used to nowadays. A Hard Day's Night was the debut film of the Beatles, and it was released at the height of Beatlemania, almost breaking box office records before it was even released, and made for a very small budget. It's a plot that's been done in so many movies, pretty much a day in the life of a band, and that is essentially what this quirky British film is about. It's about the Beatles as they prepare for a television special, and involves the rehearsal, the disappearance of Ringo, and the final concert. Pretty much it was representative of what it was like to see a Beatles concert at the time, where you could barely even hear the songs over the girls screaming. Before the music started to change a lot in the late 60s, this is a great representation of their early songs and their early hits. You'll hear songs like, you know, She Loves You, All My Loving, Can't Buy Me Love, and a few lesser-known songs from the album With the Beatles, which I remember from when I was growing up. Now, as I mentioned, it was released at the height of Beatlemania. The budget was only £189,000, however, the film ended up grossing over $12 million worldwide. So the great thing is the film was a commercial success, it won over the fans, it won over the parents of the fans who were coming along and seeing it, and essentially were seeing these four clean-cut boys from Liverpool in their suits singing all these nice love songs. But the good thing is the film also was a critical success. People are now deeming it one of the most influential musical films of all time, and I can easily see why. You can see how the Monty Python guys would have seen inspiration in this, even spy thrillers, which is funny considering the next film, Help from 1965, is pretty much a spoof on spy films. It's funny how Ringo Starr always seems to be the put-upon member of the Beatles. However, in Hard Day's Night and in Help, he seems to be quite central in a lot of the plot, so don't miss the scenes with Paul's grandfather, who was played by Wilfred Bramfeld, who would be familiar as playing the father in Steptoe and Son, and it's great seeing some really interesting cinema verite styles and some interesting camera work, which was also verging a bit on the absurd. So I'm really excited to be bringing the film back to the big screen on Wednesday, the 30th of September. So arrive early, we'll have some drinks, have some Beatles music, and then we'll kick off A Hard Day's Night at 6:30 p.m. Last year, the film celebrated its 50th anniversary, so I'm getting in just a little bit late, but still excited to be able to bring the digitally remastered film back to the big screen for one night only. Listen to the end of the podcast for me where I give details about this screening. A really quick look at some of the upcoming events we have. We've got Princess Bride on September 13th, a special screening for the family at 1:30 p.m. at New Globe Theatre. Quentin Tarantino's debut film Reservoir Dogs is back on the big screen for one night only on September 17th. And I'm really excited to welcome back the Roaring Twenties Cinema, which we launched last week. This is returning on Friday the 18th of September at 7 p.m. with a immersive 2-hour silent film feature program with live accompaniment by a pianist. The following week, Trax 80s Party is back at Retro's Cocktail Lounge in Brunswick Street Mall. The best of the 80s from 7 p.m. and hey, it's free entry. The Beatles classic film A Hard Day's Night returns to New Globe Theatre on Wednesday the 30th of September at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 per person and are available at the door. Looking forward into October, the infamous Cards for Sorrow live floor show alongside the Rocky Horror Picture Show will return to Chanel Theatre on October 2nd at 8 p.m. Tickets are selling fast. Head to my website for more details, which is www.christianfletcher.com, and to book your tickets and to see any other upcoming events. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together, and we would definitely love to hear from you. It's super duper easy to contact us with any suggestions, feedback, requests, whatever. You can find The Rufus Project on Twitter and Facebook super duper easily. You can head to our homepage, therufusproject.podomatic.com, and leave comments below this very episode, or you can even send us an email to therufusproject@gmail.com if you are so inclined. If you would like to check out those YouTube videos I mentioned earlier about Dishonored Definitive Edition or anything else that I've put up there over the past however long, you can also find The Rufus Project on YouTube, and we have a Ustream channel you can keep your eyes on for some live broadcasting as well. Now, I did mention that we'd let you know a bit more about the next Redeeming Features cast, where we watch terribly badly rated movies or infamous movies and see if they're redeemable. And so next week we will be checking out the Will Smith Kevin Kline steampunk western Wild Wild West. Here's a little taste of what we've subjected ourselves to.
Not getting enough lift. We need more speed. Gordy, that's a cliff.
Yes, I know.
That means the ground is going to end.
Yes, I know.
Gordon.
Before there was a Secret Service, there was
West. Jim West.
West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada, none of this. It's gunning this, brother running James West, Tame of the West, so remember the name. Now who you gonna call?
Not the GB.
Now who you gonna call? Test your chest, loveless. Can't stand the heat to get out the wild.
Are you a dangerous spy? Or just a handsome cowboy who likes to poke around?
I believe I'm that second one.
I can't quite tell how they were trying to sell that movie. Can you? Wiggy wiggy wah wah indeed. Look, if you really have enjoyed this podcast, guess what? We also have merchandise. You could head to therufusproject.printup.com.au for some very unique and original shirt designs that you may even like to wear. Now, the moral of this episode of the podcast is that no matter how terrible the copyright content-holding cops of the world get, there is always Monkey Island. See you next time. Over the redeeming features casts we've done since we decided to make it its own podcast, and, well, essentially we've got Blues Brothers 2000, Glitter, Swept Away, The Wiz, Burlesque, and we're doing Wild Wild West next. Now, these are all movies that feature singers trying to cross over to acting. Are we obsessed? How long can this madness go on? Are any of these movies ever going to end up being good? I guess you'll just have to keep listening to find out, and I really hope that I can keep my sanity so I can keep bringing these things to you. I really do think we've got a problem.